They probably don't remember it actually, but the Lord has spoke to my heart, and he told me to prepare my bride, prepare my bride. And so last week we talked about David as the warrior and worshiper, and but today really starts this series just for a few weeks, and we're going to talk about King Uzziah. Because the title of the sermon is Humility Opens the Heart of God. When I first thought of that title, I put Humility Opens the Hand of God. And I, the more I thought about that, I thought, I don't like that. I'm not looking for God's hand. I'm looking for his heart. And see, you get his heart, you got his hand, right? And so turning your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we're going to read a story about a very young man who stepped into a very high position as king. So 2 Chronicles, it's about the 10th book of your Old Testament, before Psalms. If you get to Psalms, you got to go back that way. Okay, so it says, now if you read this story in, I think it's in Kings, 2 Kings, a few verses. It calls him Azariah, but most of the time it's Uzziah, King Uzziah. So now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the kings rested with his father. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Verse 5 is critically important. You might want to underline that or highlight this in your Bible. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, the walls of Jebna, and the walls of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gol-Baal, and against the Mennonites, against the don't you love this? Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread to the as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. He built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had livestock, both in the lowlands and the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies according to the number of their row, prepared by Jael, the scribe, and Masessa, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captain. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with a mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them the army, the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armors, bows, and slings to cast stones. He made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the other priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. And so they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Father God, we come before you today. God, we're seeking your face and seeking your spirit today. I pray, Lord, have your perfect way in this place. God, Lord, our hearts have been broken up through this worship experience, God. And I pray, Lord, now plant the seed of the word in our heart. Illuminate it, God, in our hearts and minds, God, so that we would not leave this place in an emotional high, but we would leave this place changed by your word, transformed, God. Lord, touch our hearts, touch our minds, God, that we would be changed individuals, looking more like Christ than we've ever looked before, so that we would be your ambassadors when we walk out of this place. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for your precious spirit to touch each and every one of us. Lord, that we would not hear this sermon and think of someone else, but that we would hear this sermon and think of our own hearts. Examine our own hearts. And sometimes, Lord, we just need your Holy Spirit to help us examine our hearts. Lord, there are things that hide in us, God, that are not exposed to us, that we can't see, and the Holy Spirit can point it out. I pray right now that your precious Holy Spirit would begin to shine the light of heaven down into our hearts and expose any wickedness, anything that you see that's beginning to brew, beginning to grow. God, we want it plucked up today, God. We want to leave like your son in his image, God. We want your pure heart, God, to be with us. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer, and I worship you with all my heart. I thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace in my life, God. Father, where would we be without you, God? It is your amazing grace that touches us, God. Lord, you have reached down, each and every one of us, when we were yet enemies, when we were yet despised. Lord, we despised you. Yet you demonstrated your love in this, God, that you died for us, Lord, when we didn't love you, when we hated you, but you loved us, God. Thank you for the amazing grace of God. Thank you, Lord. You did not leave us the way we were, God. You rescued us, Lord. You reached down in that pit, God, and you pulled us out of the miry clay, God. You restored us, God. You put joy and love and passion in our heart for the good things, God. You have healed our marriages, God. You have healed our bodies, God. You have watched over our children, Lord. Lord, we are a grateful people because of the love of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have your precious way. Lord, help us never to look at ourselves with a high position, with a lifted up position. Help us always to know, Lord, it is by the grace of God that we have been saved. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I started this series, I thought there's only one way to start a series on making right the bride, and that's on preaching on humility. See, everything starts with humility. God will do nothing as long as you stand in your pride. Are you listening to me? I mean, I really believe some people think, why is God not moving in my life? It very well could be because you are standing in pride and arrogance and not humility. It's not until you humble yourself that God will move in your life. Humility is a heart posture. It's an attitude of your mind. It's a It's a modest view of oneself. I love that. Do you know when you read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, you know what the first Beatitude is? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the humble, right? That's the first one that he mentions. Why? Because it's the stair step. It's the first rung on the ladder. It's where we all start. You see, you don't get saved until you humble yourself before God and say, I am a sinner and I need help from the Almighty God. It's a recognition of spiritual need and a dependency upon God. Humility shows up as service to others and submission to God and sacrificial love. Quite the opposite of that is pride. Pride is an inflated sense of self-importance. Boy, when you get to thinking, when you start using the word I a whole lot, you better be careful. Well, I did this and I did that. A hard attitude that exalts oneself above God and others and leads to spiritual blindness and separation. And I saw these two words and I thought, that is so good. Pride is self-worship. Is that not good? Do you realize how much sometimes we worship ourselves? Our worship belongs to the Lord. So Micah 6:8 is where I will always start when I talk about humility. He says, he has showed the old man what is good, and what does the Lord suggest of you? Require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I looked that word up, require. It's in the Hebrew, it's daras, D-A-R-A-S, and it means require. It means to seek with a demand, to seek with a demand, require. You see, it's not a great suggestion. God says there's some things that I am going to require of you to do justly. You know, Christians, there is a fruit of righteousness that emanates out of our lives. And if it's not there, we need to look, we need to examine ourselves. And I hope that you don't see it a lot, but others will see it in you, right? So, to love mercy, but to walk humbly with thy God. In Philippians chapter 2, the greatest example that we have of this, verse 5, he tells us about our Savior. And he tells us to be like him. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he knew who he was. He was very at home with his identity, but made of himself of no reputation. I love this. One version says he emptied himself. He emptied himself to become a man, right? Taking the form of the bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. You know, one of the reasons that the Jews did not accept him is because he did not come the way they thought that he would come. They were expecting a king to ride on a horse that would come in a conquering spirit, but instead they got a humble servant. He humbled himself not only to a man, but of a bondservant. I mean, he went to the lowest of the lows, right? He went all the way down to the servant, and that's who he became. And we should learn of that. We should learn to be like him. You know, verse 4, I wasn't going to read this, but verse 4, right before that, he says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. See, if you're full of pride, the only thing you can think about is you and how life is affecting me, and I didn't get what I deserved. They didn't treat me the way that I should be treated because I deserve. What do you really deserve? But it says a humble person considers others. just examine yourself. How much of your life are you living to help others get along? Now, folks, let me just put it this way to you. Have you ever worked with somebody that they would go out of their way to make sure your job was a little easier? Right? I mean, they would do extra work so that it wouldn't be. That is very, very uncommon. Some of you just gave me this look like, what? You mean there's people like that out there? Yeah, you ought to be one of them. See, I'm willing to do a little bit more work if it means a little better day for you. That's what humility is. Humility is putting others first. It's not the American way. The American way is to take care of numero uno, right? I deserve the praise. And if you don't give it to me, I'll give it to myself. I'll break my arm patting myself on the back. Oh, you're a wonderful man. When you read about Lucifer, you'll read something like this. I will ascend into the heavens, and I will do this, and I will do that. What is the original sin? Pride. You see, the thing about pride, I relate pride and greed a whole lot together. Because they're two things that will hide in your heart and you can't hardly see them. Others will see them in you. But it's hard to see it in yourself. Is my heart full of pride? Am I greedy? Let me tell you something. You can be the poorest of the poor and still be greedy. Some people think, well, only the rich are greedy. No, no, no. You can be a very humble circumstances. You could have no education. You could have not a good job, not much money, and still be filled with pride. It's these two things, these two qualities that will hide up. And I'm telling you, they travel together and they're the enemies of God. It is the personality of Satan, not of God. And we really need to be cautious. Proverbs 16 verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Do you know that if you keep persisting to have your way, the Lord will let you do it? He'll say, hey, listen, I don't want you to go down that road because the bridge is out. But if you keep saying, I'm going down that road, I don't care what everybody tells me, I'm doing this. Then he'll say, okay, but I warned you. Now, how many of us old men wish we could go back 30 years ago and do it God's way and not our way? So if you're young, listen to me today. You don't have to make the mistakes. You know, the human nature, what we say in America is experience is a good teacher. No, experience is a hard teacher. Learn from others. Don't have to experience everything yourself because it is very difficult. Pride goes before destruction. And James, he says this, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then verse 10, he says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. You know, I don't want anything. I don't want to be a part of a verse that says God resists. Because see, when I pray, I want to know that God hears me. I don't want to think that God may be turning a deaf ear to me. But I promise you, you can call yourself a Christian, but if your heart is full of pride, God will not listen to you. Not until you humble yourself before him. See, this is some of the discrepancy we have as believers. We've been taught that believers are prosperous, believers do this, believers overcome, and believers, whoa, it's all good stuff. But it doesn't happen until you walk in humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can walk on this earth and call yourself a believer all you want to, but until you humble yourself before God and do it his way, Submit your heart to God. I don't want to be resisted by the Lord. He says, goes on, he says, in Psalms 10, he says, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Is there room for God in your heart? Whew. That's tough, I think. You know, later on in that same chapter, or the next chapter, Paul writes about pushing forward and forgetting some things. He said, brothers, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, reach out towards the things that are ahead of me. Most of my life, when I thought of this, it's Philippians 3, I think 14. Most of my life, when I thought about this verse, I always thought Paul was forgetting the bad that he did early on, you know, the persecuting of the church. But as I've aged in my life, I've realized that Paul was a successful man in the kingdom. He started lots of churches. He had saw lots of people get saved. I mean, a lot of the things that Paul did was very, God's hand was upon him. And so now when I read that verse and he says, I forget those things that are behind me, I realize not, he wasn't just forgetting the bad that he did. He may be forgetting the successes that he did because he didn't want it to fill his heart. Does that make sense? I don't want to be filled with so much pride that I'm not still pushing on, expecting and seeing what God wants to do in my life. Uzziah, the story that we read, he was, we would call him, at my age, we would call him a child, a 16-year-old that becomes a king and very unprepared. You ever stepped into a position that you knew was beyond you? He was made the king. His dad, Amaziah, was a good king, but turned away from God towards the end. And Uzziah, it says, as long as he sought the Lord, verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. My son, Jordan, he has a tagline on all of his emails. And it's that line. So every time, if he sends you an email, it's going to end with this. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord. Folks, I think that's a great reminder for us. Put your name there. As long as Eric seeks the Lord. As long as, I'm seeking first the kingdom. You say, well, of course we are. Don't assume that. We seek first a lot of other things in America. Lord, I seek fame and fortune. I seek respect. I seek friendship. I seek a woman, God. I need a woman. Not me. I got all I need. Seek first the kingdom, and he'll take care of every need you have. You know, I wasn't planning on talking about that, but you know, that verse is very difficult sometimes. Because sometimes your need is like right before your face. No, you need to pay your electric bill. No, you need to do this. No, you need this. No, I just need to seek the Lord. He said he would take care of everything else. That is what you call a simplified life. We complicate. You know, sometimes I think you preach such a simple gospel. Me. And I do. You know why? Because it is a simple gospel. God did not, aren't you thankful? God did not overcomplicate it. He calls us sheep for a reason. It's like the dumbest animal on the earth, right? Come on, sheep, get this. You just seek me. You just seek me. If you'll put me first in your life, keeping a humble attitude. Seek me. So the 16-year-old is made the king, but the 16-year-old has something going for him. It's his advisor, a prophet named Zechariah. King Uzziah served as a king for 52 years. That's really a long time. It's a lifetime, basically. The Bible says that he did right in the eyes of the Lord. He did right as long as Zechariah was there. But Zechariah was much older, and Zechariah died, fairly early. And so that left him on his own. But the life of Uzziah, God blessed him with all kinds of inventions. I don't know if you caught it, but he built these fortified towers in the city of Jerusalem so that they could look up and they could watch who was coming into the land, but they could also shoot arrows from there, but it says they could shoot stones. What? Shoot stones. So I thought, did Uzziah invent the catapult? Now, if you've ever watched the old movies, I love watching these things where they put these huge stones in these machines and it would hurl it back, you know, like that. And it says, no, the Greeks invented that about 300 years later, but he invented something that was prior to that. It very possibly, it's where the Greeks got their ideal of this machine. They perfected it, but it was Uzziah that invented something like this to defeat his enemy. All of his soldiers went out with full armor, right? With spears. That didn't always happen in Israel's day. You see, God blessed this man, but he not only blessed him in the military ways, he advanced the city. Their territory expanded. But the thing that touched my heart the most is that God blessed him with agricultural knowledge. Why does that mean something? Because that blesses the people. So he dug wells, and they in the desert he planted gardens. Right? So God was blessing Uzziah's life. Why? As long as Zechariah, there's one version, I think it's the CEVE version, and it says this, that Zechariah taught Uzziah how to fear the Lord. Maybe you think big deal. Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's where wisdom starts. It's where knowledge starts. And Zechariah taught him that. Boy, don't we need that today. We still think that we've did it on our own. Look what I've accomplished. Oh boy. You're in a dangerous way when you begin to say stuff like that. You see, his success led to pride. His spiritual advisor passed away. And one day, Uzziah, the king, went into the temple where only the priest would go. The priests were Levites, right? But Uzziah decided, in all of his wisdom, I'm going to go offer sacrifice. I'm going to burn incense to the Lord. Sounds right. Doesn't it sound good? But it was where he shouldn't have been. It was just as bad as when David was on the roof looking out over Bathsheba. You see, we all see that story and we think, oh, that's evil. So was what Uzziah did. When Uzziah entered that temple and began to burn incense to the Lord, it was a place he should not have been. And Azariah came in and said, Uzziah, what are you doing here? And it said, the Bible is very specific. He says when Azariah came in, he came in with 80 other priests. I mean, in this little room, right? In this little room that's just got a few instruments, all of a sudden there's 82 people there. Surrounded, that's probably about the number of people that we have in this congregation right now. All of a sudden they're surrounding this king and they're saying, you don't belong here. You're telling the king that he doesn't. Ooh, you see what just happened? that pride just boiled up. Don't you tell me I don't belong anywhere that I want to be. I am the king. And all of a sudden, leprosy, incurable disease, broke out on this man's forehead. A disease that he would live with for the rest of his life, that brought him from being in the throne room to an isolated house. The rest of his life, he would live in isolation because of leprosy, because of the judgment of God. The churches today all across the land are preaching on the blessing of God, but no one preaches about the judgment of God. One day, folks, the one that we call Savior and Lord will also be judge. And you will give an account for every word and every action that you've ever done. Thank God it's under the blood, right? Thank you, Jesus. We don't live in torment. We don't live in worry to that. Why? Because of Christ. But I'm going to tell you, as a believer, pride will stop the blessing of God in your life. And if you don't think that it wants to... Sometimes if you don't have any obvious sins, I'm not committing adultery and I'm not addicted to porn and I don't drink alcohol and I don't do drugs, and all of a sudden you get this, whoa, I'm really something pretty good, ain't I? Jesus must be really proud of me. Look at me, right? Oh, we don't say it. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, if Satan can't get you in sin, he will get you in pride that you're not in sin. I've watched Christians that get saved that push in really hard, and that they would begin to study their word and they'd begin to get alone with God and God would begin to talk to them, and all of a sudden, pride fills their heart. Had one young girl come and talk to me. She'd been saved about 3 years and God was doing amazing things. God was using her prophetically. It was great what God was doing. But all of a sudden, pride began to slip in. She'd come into my office one day and she gave me the what for. And I thought, you little snot-nosed kid. You're 23 years old and you don't know anything. And you're, let me just give you a verse. Rebuke not an elder. You know what's in there? You better be careful rebuking an elder, because God says don't do it. What do? You pray for them. Are you following me? But the American church, I'm sorry to say this, we're so out of kilter with the word of God and the spirit of God. Are you listening to me? We're out of place sometimes. We're not walking under the anointing of the word. We've created a God that we want, not the God of the scripture. When's the last time you got on your face before the Lord? That's humility. See, I don't think the Lord has any problem with us doing a good job and being proud of the job that we've done. There was a time in my life when I tried to take this word pride and proud out of my vocabulary chair all the way. And instead of telling my kids I was proud of them, I'd say, I'm pleased with you. I was just trying to make myself sensitive to this thing. And so years, I would not use that word pride. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I became very sensitive to it. But I don't believe the Lord gets upset with you being proud of your children, or proud of a job that's well done. I think the pride that I'm talking about is an inflated sense of you. As I look across this room, I see successful people. I see people that God has blessed. When I'm standing back there at the door and just shaking your hands, numerous people will come by and say, that was a good sermon. Thank you for doing that. You know, you spoke to my heart. Pride is not saying, humility is not, well, it really wasn't me. Yeah, it was. I stood up there. You should be able to accept a thank you and accept a, am I making sense? See, there, I think there's a fake form of humility. Don't do that. If someone gives you a compliment, accept it. Now you may want to follow it up. You may want to say, isn't God good? You know, he spoke through a jackass one time, right? I think that's good. That's a good knowledge for every preacher to remember. I'm not the first one. Aren't you thankful? Oh, me. Thank you, Jesus. So this pride that came up in Uzziah's life, it cost him dearly. The rest of his kingship, he lived in isolation. So I want to talk to you just very quickly. How do I avoid pride? How can I be conscious of this thing that wants to grab my life? Number one, you need to walk in God's presence. More than anything, you need the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if this begins to happen. Psalms 1, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You see, prosperity is a part of, it is part of the promise that we have. But it's tied. It's tied to something that you have to do. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. As long as you meditate upon the Lord, as long as you stay in his presence, God will bless what you put your hand to. But when you get that out of kilter, when you get that out of sequence, I promise you the blessing will stop. And when the blessing stops, you need to start examining yourself. Why was I doing so well for a little while? And then all of a sudden, bam, it looks like I ran into the wall. It's very possible that pride has entered in. Number two, you need to develop an attitude of gratitude. As you walk in this life, be thankful for what God is doing in your heart. 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be grateful for what God is doing. That's not only the good stuff. Sometimes that's the hard stuff. You know, sometimes it's hard to thank God for the valleys. Are you with me? It's in the valley, though, you really learn the love of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. See, it's not until you go through that valley that you realize he's with you in the valley, that he's still protecting you. All of life is not a mountaintop experience. If it was, we'd act like two-year-olds, right? But God has not called us to be throwing temper tantrums. It's time that the church becomes mature. That's what he's doing in this. You know, Jesus is really coming back. You do know that. I mean, he told me, make ready the bride. Why would he tell me make ready the bride? Because I'm coming for my bride. What do we need to do? First and foremost, let's humble ourselves and call on the name of the Lord, right? You do that with daily presence. You do that by developing an attitude of gratitude. You do that by serving others. You know, one of the things when depression hits you, you know, one of the things that will take you out of depression? Serving others. Find somebody to help. Find a neighbor. It doesn't have to be another believer. It's just somebody that needs help. Go and, you know, go to the elementary school and read to the second grade class. You'd be surprised. Oh, geez, I'm saying this in faith. You'd be surprised how much joy that will bring you. Go spend some time in the nursing home. Are you following me? I'm telling you, serving other people is the attitude that we are to walk in. It will keep you in a humble position. But number four, you need to have a spiritual mentor. Something's not taught anymore in the church. I'm serious. What I'm teaching on Father's Day says in Corinthians, you have not many fathers. Boy, is that not a true statement for America today? Do you realize how many homes of children, they don't have a daddy in the house? And you think that's bad? Look at the church. How many Christians do not have a spiritual father? They don't have anybody coaching them. You know what a dad will do? A dad will take the side of his foot and place it gently along the backside of you. A mother nourishes and a mother will embrace and a mother will make you a baby. Now, I thank God for mamas. We need them both. But you need a father. You need someone that will speak to you and will tell you you're making all bad decisions. You ever had a season in your life where it just seemed like if there was a bad decision to make, that's the one I got. Oh, count me in. I can do this. Wouldn't it have been wonderful in your season of making bad decisions if somebody come alongside of you, someone that loved you, that was concerned about you, not concerned about their own ego, but someone that absolutely loved you and wanted to see you be successful, if they come alongside of you and say, you need to stop that nonsense. That don't sound too good to you, does it? But it's something you need. It's like a 4-year-old. Take this medicine. I ain't doing it. Tastes awful. I don't care what it tastes like. I'll treat you like my dog if I have to. I'll push that pill down your throat. You're taking this medicine, right? You know, sometimes Christians, we just need to take some medicine. The Word of God is medicine. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Folks, God never called us into isolation. God called us to walk as a community. We are called to become one, to walk together. You know, that's where we really learn to love each other. You know, you can say all day long you love people. Yeah, well, come and deal with some of the folks that I deal with. You're going to get to practice love. Read some of the letters that I get and tell me how much you love them. But the Word of God's pretty clear on this. He says, how can you say you love God, but you don't love your neighbor? And that means the neighbors maybe that you have nothing in common with. Maybe the neighbor that's living a lifestyle that you don't like. Come on, Christians. We're still called to love them. Your judgment will not get their attention. Your love will. And humility is the spirit that will promote that kind. Does that make sense to you? That's the spirit that we have to walk in. Amen. Would you stand with me? I for most of my sermons, when I go to end a sermon, I try to be very discreet. I just say, lift your hands and I'll pray for you. But folks, when you're talking about humility, you can't do that. See, if you're dealing with pride today, one of the greatest thing that you can do is step out of your chair right now and come to this altar area and say, God, I've been found guilty in the house of the Lord. I see something growing inside of me that displeases me when you bring it out. And I know it's displeasing to you, displeasing to you. Are you brave enough to step out of your chair? See, if you have this attitude, everybody knows I'm a deacon. Everybody knows I've been serving the Lord for a long time. I've got an image that I need to keep up. That's pride. See, if you can't lift your hands in the house of the Lord and worship God in freedom, you know what that is? That's pride. When you have this thought, everybody will see me. Ain't nobody looking at you. Are you following me? I'm telling you, Satan is slick at this. Satan deals in the darkness. And he wants, as long as you don't expose it, just keep it underneath the surface. But pride, you got to expose. You got to say, God, I see some of this in me and I don't like it. I know you don't like it. And I need your help, God. I want to end it today. I want this spirit to stop. Congratulations, folks. This is the first part of winning the battle, is bringing something out of the darkness into the light. Would some of you brothers and sisters just gather behind these folks? Let's pray for them. These are people that are willing to admit. The truth of the matter is, every one of us probably should be down here. Because the pride is not selective. It tries to get in every one of our hearts. Father God, we come before you right now, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the honesty of these folks, God. Lord, that they were willing, God, to lay down their own reputation. Lord, very respected people are standing in front of me right now. And they said, I don't care about my reputation. I don't care about what other people think. What I do care about is, what do you think, God? Lord, I humble myself so that you can exalt me. I humble myself so that the hand and the heart of God has my attention and will begin to work on my behalf. God, I pray right now, Lord, whatever that is that they're dealing with, God, wherever it's coming out, God, I bind it in the name of Jesus. We put it up on the altar of the Lord. We say, Satan, we've identified this and we don't want any part of this. Get out of my heart. You have no right in my mind or my heart. I submit my heart to God right now. I call upon the name of the Lord to wipe this away, to erase this out of my life. God, I confess this to you. Forgive me, God. Forgive me that this began to grow. Lord, I ask you, Father, Lord, to do a work in each one of these people's heart. God, I pray, Lord, that they would walk in this thing that you said it's required. It's required that my servants be humble. God, we give you all glory. We give you all the praise, Lord. We do not take it. We cast our praise upon you. Lord, you are the one that has blessed our life. God, if people see us and they think positive of us, Lord, we understand it's the goodness of God in us. Lord, and we thank you, Father, right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, that these folks would find a mentor, find someone that will speak into their life, God. And I pray, Lord, if, Lord, maybe they should be the mentor. God, help them to pour their heart into other folks. Jesus, we look to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Denny.
Mentor reminded me of our discipleship class Wednesday. We're going through Judges. And the very last book, verse in the book of Judges says, there was no king, so everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So it's so important that we have somebody to speak into our lives so we don't get off track. Amen. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.